Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
What's up, friends, and welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast, Week 10 Waivers. We are already in the double digits of weeks. I'm Chris Welsh. That is Jake Seeley. And the waiveries are very wavery today. That's what we're going to be doing, breaking down all of Jake's article that's over on The Athletic. So if you guys want to go and check that out, go to theathletic.com, or you can go to All In Kid on the Twitter X, click straight on the waiver link, and you can sign up there. Lots of options. However you do it, get you to the same end goal, where we're talking Week 10 waivers. Mr. Jake Seeley, how goes it?
It goes good. So we could call it Twix. And they were just named, like, Twitter X is just Twix. And that's what we're doing.
Oh, like, yeah, like the candy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do that.
Really good.
Halloween, it would be very appropriate.
Yeah, there you go. So we're Twixing. Yeah.
Maybe I said it, Fed, but I said Twitter X.
Twitter, yeah, Twitter X. Like, I don't know. Who the hell cares? Fall on that thing.
I don't know.
I still get notifications people are posting on Threads. And I'm like, people are still doing that?
Yeah, well, they try to sneak him in. They sneak him in on Instagram. You're like, what is this? And then you click on it and it takes you to Threads and they're like, ah, they got me. There's too much on all that type of stuff. And then you get like notifications. You're like, X, formerly known as Twitter. And you're just like, no, let's stop.
I still have a Blue Sky account I never tweeted on. Or I don't even know what you would call it on there. Skied on.
Blue Sky. Wasn't that a drink? Blue Skies? Do you ever have that drink?
Someone's had
that drink here. No, it's not that type of drink. It's like a soda.
Oh.
It was like a soda from like a Trader Joe's or something like that. It was like Blue Sky or something. There's like three people that are like, yes, the cream soda, Blue Sky, whatever.
The same people that drink exactly RC Cola?
Yeah. No. But RC Cola was like off-brand stuff. This was, I mean, I guess this was also
RC Cola is a brand. Like, that's not like Dr. Perky that you get at this.
Dr. Rocket, Dr. Thunder.
We legitimately had a Dr. Perky here.
So, Dr. Perky, I will say, for whatever reason, the doctor, was always the best off-brand soda. Like, none of the other sodas could really
off-brand. I was going to say, because Mr. Brand is off-brand. Still the best.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It's like the Dr. Thunder or whatever. Those always translated the best than, like, whatever the, you know, the cola one was.
Oh,
so
I see
just
what
be
you're
called
saying.
Cola. You know what I mean? Or, like, the Sprite version.
Oh, wait, I don't know about the Sprite. Like, you can't mess up Sprite. Like, I've never been able to taste the difference between Sierra Mist or whatever the hell they're calling Starry now and Sprite and been like, yeah, I can taste the difference. Coke and Pepsi, you can taste the difference.
I missed the memo on Starry. It one day it was just there and I was like, what is this? And then someone said it was the new, it's the new Sprite or something.
The new Sierra Mist.
Oh, it's the new Sierra. See, I don't even know. It's there. Just Starry is in our face like it's always been there.
You're welcome, everybody, for everything that you needed for waivers. Soda talk.
Well, you know what? You might need a soda if you're going to be dealing with the waivers. There were a bunch of injuries, by the way, of course. I feel like week 8 hit and it's just like every week someone's out for the year. Well, we got a couple of those and we've got who you should pick up. Last week's waivers looked pretty good. Just want to point out from a production standpoint this past week. So make sure you're on top of it. So let's just jump right into it then. We won't waste any more time with the sodas or the Dr. Thunders or whatever. Brian Daboll said an MRI confirmed Daniel Jones is out for the year. So Danny DeVito is now the quarterback or whatever they decide to do. The Giants are in trouble, Jake. Is there any hope for any of the outlets? Everyone was like, oh, Jalen Hyatt might start becoming a thing. Nope. Saquon Barkley against probably 8-man boxes now for the rest of the year. I mean, what hope do you have on any of the Giants ancillary players?
None. Just Wandale Robinson, maybe. And it's only because he was fitting a little bit better for Daniel Jones, which would be DeVito style, which maybe Matt Barkley, who's the next one up behind them, maybe they go pick somebody off of practice squad from somebody else. But there's nothing here at this point. Like you said, Jalen Hyatt, but you needed a passing game because he could do it on 2 catches, but he needs 6 targets the way that they throw to him, and now doesn't even get that. Darren Waller's out for a while, so that's why I think Wandale Robinson's a little bit intriguing, but that's about it. I mean, Wandale Robinson, essentially, as crazy as it's going to sound, people are like, you're out of your mind, and then go check the box scores, and you're going to see Wandale Robinson is essentially Zay Flowers, wide receiver 4, five receptions for 50 yards, four receptions for 47 yards. Maybe you get a 7 for 78 or something like that, but they're essentially the same guy. It's a wide receiver four floor play. I had to pause to make sure I can get tongue tied.
Only problem was like they didn't trust DeVito to throw the ball at all. I mean, it was like
last game they did.
Was it like Army? Was it Army or Navy? What's the one that doesn't throw?
That is Army.
Army. Yeah, it was like Army. Oh no, like I guess.
Yeah, wait, that runs the wishbone. That's Navy. Navy was the one that. Yeah. Okay. Navy. Yeah. Navy's the three running back. We run 50 times and throw three.
Yeah, and I mean, know that I felt like
Notre Dame faces them a lot.
I felt like Saquon was going to throw the ball more than DeVito. So
no,
maybe
he threw 20
change.
Times. He completed 15 passes. They're just all dunks.
Yeah,
drops.
I'm just thinking of that first game. Dinkin' the
dunks.
First game, like they did anything they could.
That was. But against the Raiders, they threw quite a bit. I mean, Slayton's desperation, but yeah, there's not really much here.
No, there's not. Kevin O'Connell confirmed an MRI revealed that there's a torn Achilles for Cam Akers. He is out for the year. That's very unfortunate. Cam was just starting to kind of poke through. But you know what? If anything, that actually might be a positive because then Madison can just kind of like not have the takeaway happen. I don't know what else they'll potentially do, but Madison gets to have the full bore through the rest of the year because Akers is gone. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, who gets the full bore?
Madison.
Oh, yeah. I think Ty Chandler could have sprinkled in a little bit. They might surprise and sign somebody.
You think they hate Madison enough?
No, it's just we've seen enough of the roller coaster from Madison. The dude, he's what? I just pulled it up for my column for the ranks. I want to pull up, make sure I got the right number of the opportunities here. So let me find it. The goal to go, their goal line attempt. So goal to go is inside the 10. Goal line is inside the 5. I was actually bringing it up because Tony Pollard's got the 5th lowest success rate. He's 2 for 10. Alexander Madison's 0 for 7. 0 touchdowns on 7 rushes from inside the 5. That tells you. I'm just saying.
So is that a goal line back? Are they going to bring in a goal line
back? That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe. So it should all be his workload. I just don't like. I guess maybe in my mind, I don't know how excited you were trying to make that sound. Like, Alexander Madison, I don't think he changes much from being still a mid RB2.
I wasn't trying to make it exciting. More is that like, I guess I've been the negative Madison guy and you've had Cam Akers breathing down his neck this whole time.
Yeah.
That's now gone. And now they've got to just manufacture something else. But Madison seems to be like, they could be comfortable enough giving him 20 plus carries if they want, because there's not like a lockdown back, someone that they, you know, there's not even a Leonard Fournette that's out on the wire for them to go and make a move, or not that they would or would want to, but I don't know. I just think it gives you maybe the slightest bit more confidence in Madison when you put him out on the roster, because things had not been trending in like the best direction with Cam Akers. That's all.
Okay.
There were a couple other just little injury notey things to talk about early on. Jordan Rodrigue from The Athletic reported that Sean McVay sounded optimistic that Matthew Stafford would be able to return in week 11. So just kind of getting you guys ahead of that one.
Yeah.
Puka and Cooper.
I trust, you know, Jordan. I don't know if I trust the Sean McVay on this one, just because I brought this up on All in Football's waivers yesterday. And it was weird because after the game, we all of a sudden got, will he be back in week 11? Will it be longer? Will it be a shutdown situation similar to last year? And I like, look, I trust Jordan, the report over there. I'm just saying, like, there's two reports. There's floating reports that Stafford might not be back and might not be back soon. I'm just concerned, a little concerned.
Yeah. Well, and I tried to be like, hey, we'll be all right with Puka and Cooper, and it wasn't this weekend. So, you know, sooner rather than later, please, for Matthew Stafford and the rest of our teams. Maybe they'll be able to fix it, but it was really bad this past week. On the Bears side, Justin Fields had a limited practice on Monday, which is great. And Bears designated Khalil Herbert to return from the IR. So theoretically, I know sometimes the designated from IR can still be a couple weeks, but there's the potential that you could have Fields and Herbert back this weekend, which, you know, I mean, that's a positive. Is that a positive boost? Is that a positive boost in your mind for, you know, where DJ Moore has been at? It affects that running game. I don't know if Khalil Herbert comes back also to, you know, the workload that he had before, now that you've got Deontay Foreman, you know, doing his thing, and Roschon Johnson out there. But thoughts on Field and Khalil?
Well, do you just want to talk about the running backs now before we talk about the waivers? We'll just kind of hit them all at once.
Do we have? Yeah, you know what?
Because we have both.
Yeah, let's save it.
You want to save it, or just want to get into it now? Yeah. Fields is an upgrade, though. That's not even a question. I don't, Tyson Bagent was fun for that 1 week, destroying everybody's rushing props too. But because he went Mike Vick on him out there. So actually, he pulled his Justin Fields. That was fun. But yeah, that's an upgrade for DJ Moore. And I mean, Cole Kmet was what, 2 or 3 receptions, 2 touchdowns, 3 receptions, like. Cole Kmet's back in our graces. Darnell Mooney's still a matchup play. I actually liked Darnell Mooney a lot last week because of the coverage with Lattimore on top of DJ Moore. So it's a boost to everybody. Justin Fields is better.
Yeah, I wonder if Fields runs a little bit less too when he comes back. Always something to consider. And Cole Kmet was starting to get a thing. Yeah, we will talk about this in 1 second. The last quick burns. John Harbaugh said that quote, "I'm sure there will be a rotation," when talking about Keaton Mitchell earning more playing time. Just the best thing that we all needed out of that backfield. And Dan Campbell said that he's feeling good about David Montgomery playing in week 10, and also said that Jahmyr Gibbs was going to get more run with what he's done when Dave Montgomery comes back. So a couple some messy running back situations, but the Gibbs love fest has to taper back a little bit. And as Gus Edwards has been scoring all these touchdowns, but guys like Mitchell and them are going to come in and have some effect. Are you going to be into Mitchell at all?
I'm not even going to be. Yeah, been on Mitchell. I had Mitchell.
No, I know, but like with the three-headed monster.
I know,
like,
I'm just being tongue-in-cheek. Just look, I've even said there's been some people in waivers who, because of slim rosters, people on buys on top of injuries, and all, it's like, who do I have to drop? And unfortunately for some of those people, it was Mitchell, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, last week, just because of how, not last week because everybody was out there 2 weeks ago, but yeah, it's the crunch. It's like, who do you drop? Do you drop Tank Dell or Keaton Mitchell? I mean, 2 weeks ago, unfortunately, until he gets even into the rotation. But that upside you saw is why everybody was stashing him where we could. I am 100% into him just for the fact that we might as well talk about him. He's number two. He's two because we're talking about one in a second. He would be one if one's not out there. But with Mitchell, it's that there's the A-chan upside. Everybody's thinking A-chan. And that's reasonable. Like, that's the explosiveness. Mitchell was overlooked in the draft. He was overlooked as a talent. He has that explosiveness. Is he going to be a 20-touch guy? No, neither is Achan. Is he going to be the best option? Possibly, but is he also potentially going to fall into a committee, as Harbaugh is saying? Yes. There's a couple ways to look at it. People are like pushing back on the fact that Justice Hill led that backfield after Gus Edwards had his second touchdown and led in snaps, touches, everything. Gus Edwards barely even touched the field. He wasn't even out there for quarter four. So, fourth quarter. I don't know why I said it like that. Quarter four. He was not out there for the quarter four.
It's the royal quarter. Yes. Quarter four, please.
But I'm just saying that to say, like, and people are like, well, they're just protecting Mitchell, and this was just the grind of, like, don't get anybody else hurt. And, like, Justice Hill's been there the entire year. I'm not saying Mitchell's not better than Hill. I'm not saying he doesn't have a higher ceiling. I'm not saying Mitchell doesn't have the highest ceiling of all three of them. But if all three of them are used, it's going to be a very dicey situation week in and week out, because the one definitive factor we know, Gus Edwards is the goal line carrier. That's the one thing we do know.
And what's hilarious is that at the very, very early part of the season, that was like Justice Hill. Justice Hill was scoring those touchdowns.
Oh, so weird.
My worry with Keaton Mitchell is he looks like the most explosive, but I feel like you're going to be capped at like 8 touches. And it's like, what can you do with that? Because you've also got Lamar, who's going to dominate some carries. You've got Justice Hill, who ends up being the lead guy. Gus Edwards takes the touchdown. So what does that leave for a guy like Keaton Mitchell? It puts him in a situation where you've got to break a big play. So I'm a little bit dicey. From an upside perspective, this number two spot makes tons of sense.
Yeah.
You're playing in some pseudo keeper dynasty type of league, and he happened to be sitting out there. Makes all the sense of the world for the long-term option. If you've got the flexibility, I like it. If you're a little bit, I got a bye week issue this week in a couple leagues. I literally have I have every bench player in one league starting, and I have an extra defense from the week before that I have to cut to fill one more spot. So you've also got bye week issues that are coming up here. And I guess I'm just a little bit cautious about the overall workload that he can have.
Browns this week.
And that's an even tougher matchup. So, like, I also see a scenario where he maybe could sit out on the wire just because of buys.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And in your waiver wire column, which everybody can check out at The Athletic, he was number two, and he was sandwiched between a couple Bears. And you had Khalil Herbert at one and Deontay Foreman at three. No Roshan in there. So let's talk through this Bear-Raven sandwich of waivers and how the two Bears are working for you here.
Well, you kind of alluded to it, which is why I said if we wanted to jump ahead and get right into it. But you alluded to the fact that I don't know if it's a guarantee Herbert comes right back in. Look, you started off the first couple games and Herbert wasn't the clear lead. And then Herbert started to push ahead and then he went off the one game and then was looking great again the second game where he was the clear lead ahead of Roshan and the rest. And you looked at it and said, ooh, it's happening. Yay, it's happening. And then he got hurt. So you have Deonta Foreman come in, and Deonta Foreman looks great. You know, Roshan missed time because of the concussion, but Roshan came back, and it's still been Deonta Foreman. And it's been Deonta Foreman, like, up, down, in between. It's Foreman. Like, Johnson gets sprinkled in, but it's clearly Foreman. And he's looked really good, and that's the problem. It's like, if you, like, it's the quote-unquote, I put it even in the waivers, the quote-unquote, don't mess with success. Like, it's working. Like, don't fix what's not broken. And Foreman's working right now. And Foreman's working with Bajan. Like, what, you know, so do I think Herbert, is he going to get Wally pipped? Yeah, it's a possibility. Do I think he should? I still like Herbert over Foreman, but I don't think it's enough of a gap to say that Herbert's going to come in and definitively go back to the lead. And even if he is definitively the lead, I don't know if it's anything more than 55-45 split or even a 50-50 straight up and down the line. I do not think, I'll say that one thing where I will plant a flag, quote unquote, I don't think Herbert's coming back to 75% of the workload. So that's my issue here. And that's why Herbert would be one. He's 62% on Yahoo, which so that's why I put him there because he probably got dropped in a lot of leagues for people that don't play with IR spots or something, which is just stupid. But anyway, that's why I still have Foreman at three because I am not dropping Foreman. I am waiting to see this play out. I'm going to give it at least a week, if not longer. And the flip side, just to go down the road when we're talking next week, if Foreman gets 65% of the work and Herbert gets 35, I'm still not even saying that's definitively going forward either because they might ease him back in, similar to Jonathan Taylor with the Colts because Zach Moss was playing well. So it's just a lot. Just you got to hold both of them.
Yeah, and Foreman has looked like a bowling ball. He just crashes out of the offensive line just into the defense, and he's gaining yards. And it's a really interesting thing, too, with him being like not active early on, and he has really established a role. I completely agree with you. I just don't see Khalil Herbert.
I know I cursed Cam Akers because I said, this is what needs to happen. I said, we saw Deonta Foreman. You have the Achilles injury. You come back. You're not good. You wait a year. You're good for a few games, but then you fall off again. So then you got to come back another year. So it's like you got to come back once and then a year and a half gap. And then you start to really look good. And I was like, that's going to happen for Akers. Just we got to wait till next year. And then blew out his Achilles again.
Yep, we won't see him till maybe not next year. Yeah, ever.
I think this could be a career ender.
Oh man, your arc since I've been on this show with you of Cam Akers, the arc is something special. It is something crazy. Coming in at number four. So again, the top three: Khalil Herbert at number one, though he does just slightly break that 60% threshold. Keaton Mitchell number two, and Deonta Foreman number three. Coming in at number four, Zach Charbonnet with the Seahawks. So talk to us about Charbonnet getting into that top five.
A huge jump for Charbonnet, mostly because Kenneth Walker is going right back to the issues Kenneth Walker had last year. And the problem with Kenneth Walker last year is the same thing he had at college. Look, he has explosive playability. Kenneth Walker can break through tackles. He can catch some balls. He can do a lot of really good things. The problem with Kenneth Walker is he has Trent Richardson disease. And it's not as bad because obviously Kenneth Walker's succeeding in the NFL and Kenneth Walker's doing well. And he's been a top 10 running back at times at the start this year. He was one of the best running backs. The problem when I say Trent Richardson disease is he doesn't always see the holes that are created for him. Like the designed, like he looks for ones. There'll be like one right in front of his face and he'll bounce to the next tackle or onto the tackle instead of the guard. Or he'll try to bounce outside, or he'll run through a smaller lane than there's the bigger lane. And it's just, it's not like look, I have terrible vision. This is why I could never play running back. My vision sucks. Like, I don't know. Like, you could compare, like, it's almost like somebody put invisible blinders like a horse on my face, and all of a sudden I can see down this narrow hallway and I don't have anything. Like, this is why I never played running back. I can't do it. And I'm just saying, like, not every player is gifted in every, like, not every running back can be Christian McCaffrey. Not every running back can be Saquon Barkley. Hell, Saquon Barkley's problem is being able to stay healthy. So I'm saying all this to say, we saw this happen last year. And the concern last year started to sprinkle in some other options, but there was nobody like Charbonnet last year. So Charbonnet's gotten healthy. He's shown some burst. I'm not saying Kenneth Walker's losing the job to Charbonnet, but we've seen this before with, oh my God, Pete Carroll. He's going to turn to whoever he feels like at any given time. And if this leads to a 50-50 split, I mean, you could start starting Charbonnet as an RB3 potentially. And that's why he vaulted so far up the ranks.
You could argue. So I know the priority of the waivers here, maybe it already has the answer, but you could argue that Charbonnet might be a more valuable pickup than Keaton Mitchell, don't you think? Or is Keaton Mitchell just so, like, it just dramatically above?
It's just that ceiling. I'm not going to pass on the potential. Like, you could even argue that Mitchell's better than Herbert, just because what if he's Achane? What if he's Achane and only needs his 10 touches a week to be an RB1 every single week? And that's the issue here. So to your point, if you needed somebody for this week and you had one spot to grab, would you roll the dice on Mitchell against the Browns, or would you make a case for Herbert, Foreman, or Charbonnet? Like, that, I think that's something you can argue against.
Yeah. Coming in at number 5, the last one we're going to talk about. All the rest are over on the article. That's why the article is so great. It's a huge, robust thing, so it's not just as simplistic as us being able to break it all down in a podcast. But number 5, Tyler Allgeier, and you just did huffy face emoji. This is funny too. What was it like? He had like negative like 13 yards at the half or whatever. Yeah. But also Arthur Smith, his comment on Bijan Robinson was like, he's doing really great without the ball. And you're just like, come on, buddy. Like, what are we doing here? So the continued annoyance of Bijan Robinson always opens up this question, but he will not relent on Tyler Allgeier. So what do you want to add to his case here coming in at number 5?
Nothing. That's why he's got huffy emoji. Like, if you don't want him, you don't want him. I can't believe he's still not even 60. So, like, this is what it comes down to. Tyler Allgeier, and to kind of run through real quick, Kenneth Gainwell's right behind him. Those are both backups that if you're desperate, you might be able to start. And then if anything were to happen to lead option, you have at least an RB2 on your hands. That's why they're there. And that's why they're ahead of like Justice Hill and Devin Singletary, who are already in timeshares. But do you really want to start them? They kind of really need the injury. And even with Singletary, you got the injury and it still wasn't that good. So that's really what it comes down to. It's like there are better versions of Zeke. That's just the simplest way to put it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let's go over to the wide receivers, our top wide receiver waivers for the week. We're going back to the huffy emoji. This one makes maybe even a little bit more sense. We all got to see.
We've talked about him for incredible. 3 straight weeks on this show.
How incredible is CJ Stroud that leads to that connection with Tank Dell? Tank Dell did his thing this week as CJ Stroud did. And like you said, I mean, I think you might have had Tank Dell on this like every single week we've done this show, Jake.
Oh, he was out there the first week. He was in waivers the first week. He wasn't this high because now there's been a lot of names that have been checked off and gone. But Tank Dell's been there the entire season because this is what you have. And look, there's going to be a down game. It could even happen the very next game. Like, C.J. Stroud's not perfect. C.J. Stroud just came off 3 games where it was like, ugh. I mean, in fantasy, he was scoring 12 points, 13 points, 11 points. Like, it wasn't that great. And it was either Collins or Tank Dell. And we could go right back to that. But Tank Dell is a wide receiver 3/4, depending on your league, who, for all intents and purposes, right now is DeSean Jackson light. And I only say light because DeSean Jackson at his prime, you could get 12 good games with 6 of those being amazing, another 6 being really good, and then the 6 terrible ones. Well, that's too many games, but you get my point. 5, 5, and 5, is that a little bit better? And that's the point. He's probably more of like half and half for Tank Dell, but that's, you've got to just put him out there. Here's one thing I will caution. If you're going to pick up Tank Dell, similar to Gabe Davis, don't try to play mix and match. Just leave him in your lineup as your wide receiver 3 or 4, because then you're going to miss the good games when you're trying to play mix and match, and then you're going to play him in the bad games. Like, just put them out there. Not every wide receiver is Justin Jefferson.
It's tough, I think, for people when, you know, you pick him up and you've got like, if you got like 3 lockdown guys and don't even have the options, like what is the general range, do you think, the tier he sits in that he can push? Like, look at Addison with the Vikings.
Addison's now a wide receiver 1 in the season, by the way.
Well, I'm just saying, but at this moment, like, do you think Tank Dell lives in that? Is that way too high?
Too high. I put Tank Dell in the same conversation as Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, those two, Cortland Sutton, Tyler Lockett, who he is now.
Okay.
Like, wide receiver threes, who any given week have the upside to be a top 12 wide receiver, but there'll be weeks where you just have to suck it up and live with the fact that they got you 4 points.
Okay, that makes
sense. And that's what you didn't say it, but you kind of said it without saying it. If Tank Dell goes out there and gets you 3 points this week, keep him in the lineup for the next game. That's the point there. Like, it just, because you kind of said, like, you pick him up and then you watch a bad performance.
You want to live the good ones. Coming in at number two is Quentin Johnston. Josh Palmer is down, which opens this up even a little bit more. We're starting to see him get going, making a couple plays. Talk to us about him coming in at number two on this list.
Well, so it was not a good game, but if people watched, sorry if you watched the entire game, but if you did like I did, you saw a lot of Sauce Gardner on him, which that's going to be a struggle for anybody. And then on top of that, Johnston still struggles himself with adapting to the NFL, getting his body in the right placement when it comes to positioning against the corner. Like, that first throw, even by Herbert himself, was terrible. Like, Gardner had inside leverage on him. He threw it out to Johnston. Now, Johnston could have done something different. Herbert could have done something different. Like, there's just going to be issues here. But the good thing hit, he was clearly the number two. And in fact, if you look purely at routes, he was actually number one because he ran one more route than Keenan Allen. I mean, he's not the number one. There's no question about that. But he is clearly ahead of everybody else as the number two. And if you're going to be Justin Herbert's number two wide receiver on the Chargers, flaws or not, you got a good pickup. He's another one. I put Quentin Johnston in the conversation with Gabe Davis. 2 points is just as likely as 20.
Number three, I really like this guy, DeMario Douglas. And it's funny because the Johnston versus DeMario Douglas debate is probably this floor versus incredibly high ceiling that you're battling with. Because I don't know if DeMario Douglas has crazy upside, but as you mentioned in the article, there's kind of Jacoby Myers similarities, and he's just around the ball. But I don't know if it's ever going to be, you know, 9 catches for 100 and blah, blah, blah. It's just he's going to have like a decent floor where Quentin Johnson could have 1 catch for 3 yards in a game. Douglas doesn't seem to have that, and he comes in at number three.
Yeah, and you have to do it. You have to do it right. You have to go, DeMario! I actually did it without doing the fist pump. I've been trying to remember not to do it.
Hey, it's a me, DeMario!
I do it like I keep doing the fist pump, and I like finally remember not to. Because it's like, who can see it? Who can see me just doing the stupid punch block thing? But anyway, he's a lot of fun. I have a soft spot for going. I went to Liberty for a year and a half, so I kind of had a little insight on DeMario Douglas. Not at the same time, obviously. But I always like to see the kid like ODU and Liberty succeed, because small schools, that doesn't happen a lot. But what you just said is that it's Jacoby Myers. Like, 7 for 70 is the highlight game. Maybe 8 for 100 if it's a really nice game. But a lot of it's going to be the is Michael Thomas at this the new Michael Thomas is DeMario Douglas. So like you said, if you need more upside, which we're about to talk to two wide receivers who arguably have higher ceilings, because part of it too is Devontae Parker's not done. He might come back. And does Devontae Parker hurt Douglas? Or I can't believe Juju Smith-Schuster actually did stuff in that game. He's kind of back, but it's also an offense led by Mac Jones. So you could argue there's a lot of wide receivers behind him. If this is your sixth, even fifth wide receiver, and you don't really need a wide receiver, and a lot of them have already gone through their buys, you could argue there's a lot of upside guys behind DeMario Douglas that you could be warranted picking up, including the next two.
One of those guys, both, we'll just talk about them. Jonathan Mingo came in at number four, and Michael Wilson came in at number five. So why don't you talk about the upside of both of these guys?
Yeah, and you can even go real quick. Jaxon Smith-Njigba at six. And then Jameson Williams at 7. I know people are talking about Donovan Peoples-Jones, and maybe it happens. Maybe he kicks Williams completely to the side and they're done with him, but I don't know. Just the talent of Williams, I'm still going to chase that. We've already seen DPJ. Like, we know who he is. Like, maybe I'm wrong on that one. But anyway, with Mingo, he actually ran as many routes as Adam Thielen. They were off the field for 1 route each. He's clearly almost doubled up DJ Chark, who had the best day, though. DJ Chark with a stupid touchdown. But the good news here is we've been waiting for Mingo to get to the number two spot alongside Adam Thielen. It was a terrible game for Bryce Young. It was actually Adam Thielen's first single-digit game since week one, as insane as that is to think about for Adam Thielen. There'll be better days for Bryce Young. There'll be days like he just had in week 9 that are gross. But Mingo's upside now, finally, as the two for the Panthers, is he has top 30 upside. It'll probably be ugly because it's still Bryce Young, but I think that's why. And then number five is Michael Wilson. Kyler Murray's back, done. And he's got the huffy face emoji because Michael Wilson, just like Tank Dell, has been there. I know he's been there because he was in a preseason one where I said he's a free pick. Nobody wants Michael Wilson. Just take him. He's going into the 200s. Just stash Michael Wilson and wait and wait and wait. So Michael Wilson's been there all damn year. I don't know what less to say except for everything you've known about Michael Wilson. Yes, he missed because he was hurt, but now Kyler Murray's back as well. Like, he's going to love some Marquise Brown, probably some Trey McBride too, but there's enough Kyler Murray to be a third option there.
Cardinals also a little murky.
They're murky. Yeah,
Kyler Murray.
I actually just hope
sense.
They win some extra games to get the Giants further up the draft spot.
Oh, man, the battle for Caleb. I did want to mention this coming in at Dumpsville here. This is a guy I've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. I could not be more over. You're with me here in Dumpsville, Christian Watson. I know it hurts. None of us want to, but I've been over him for weeks, and you've been talking so much about Romeo Doubs. Love likes Doubs better. Yeah. Jaden Reed gets more options. It's not there. And the question was, would you dump Watson? How many of these guys would you dump Watson to pick up on your top five?
Top five? All of them. I was going to go further than that. I'd drop him for his teammate, Doubs. Doubs is at 8. And I think you could argue, I probably wouldn't do Wandell Robinson because what's the ceiling of Wandell versus Watson? Mooney, Shahid, similar players. Shakir, he's a 3. Mims? I think you can make a case for Mims. Sean Payton's probably lying again. He's still got to get past Jerry Jeudy, but... What if he's
they're
not
trying to get us?
What if Mims all of a sudden becomes a 2 like Jonathan Mingo? What if he steps past Jerry Jeudy because they're just done and frustrated with Jeudy and he's gone next year? I could see you making that switch because what I explained about Watson is that you can't play him until you see a good game. So you're already waiting. You're not starting this week. You're already waiting. And then you have to wait for the good game. So you're going to miss a good game. He's going to sit on your bench, and then you're going to miss his good game because you can't start him right now. You can't. Jordan Love is trash. Christian Watson is not on the same page. They're not doing anything. And then what happens is the week that you start him, he has a bad game. Unlike Tank Dell, where I'm like, just leave him as your lineup. You're probably benching him again. So now you're going to get a bad game, and then you're going to have to wait and repeat the process. You're going to wait for another good game. So unless he really has 2 good games in a row, because you waited for the one, then he has a good game, and you played him, he's like, ooh, he actually had a good game 2 weeks in a row. Unless that happens, it's 2 out of 3 scenarios are bad. 1 out of 3 scenarios are good. Play the odds. 1 out of 3 scenarios, actually, you can use them in your lineup. I consider this like a sabotage drop. Let somebody else go pick him up and be like, oh, Christian Watson got dropped. And then watch them slap them in his lineup and watch Christian Watson go out there and get them 1 point against Pittsburgh.
Ooh, like a Trojan horse.
Yeah.
It's like a fantasy Trojan horse.
It doesn't always work out, though, because I sabotaged drop Najee Harris in the CBS league and with Jamie Eisenberg, and that didn't work out. He actually had a decent game.
But still might get there. If you're looking for a couple streamers at quarterback, you've got Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Taylor Heinicke.
He's just,
pickup, quarterback streamer pickups. Like, he should, what do you think you're going to slot him in week 10 as far as QB?
Top 10.
I know you haven't, like, go right into top 10.
Look at the quarterbacks we're going to have this week, just like last week. Look at the quarterbacks we don't have this week. We don't have Hurts, Tua, and Mahomes. You just lost 2 top fives into definitively a top 7 quarterback. And then we still have no Matthew Stafford, who is right around 13, 14. Yeah, Kyler Murray's going to be inside the top 10. Kyler Murray also gets the face straight up against the Falcons, who have a pretty good defense, but is not somebody that we should be like, ooh, it's the Browns.
There's a lot of bad mid quarterbacks, too. Like,
I'm
you
playing
them
over
without
Deshaun
hesitation.
Watson. Against the
Ravens.
You could drop
Russell Wilson. You could drop Geno Smith in a heartbeat, I think, for Kyler. So there you go. Not even a streamer.
We've got a few extra minutes, and this isn't the ranking show. So let's rapid fire through this real quick. I'll play Justin Fields against Carolina, if he's back. So Colts, Patriots, neither of them. C.J. Stroud and Joe Burrow going against each other. Definitely Burrow. I could see.
I play both over. Are you saying over Kyler here?
Yeah, I could see Stroud.
Both over Kyler.
I can go back and forth on that one. I don't even run my projections on that one. Carr versus Doubs. Nope. Love versus Pickett. Nope. Mayfield and Will Levis. Nope. Purdy. Not against Jacksonville's defense. Trevor Lawrence against San Francisco. I'd go Kyler Murray.
Maybe.
I go Kyler Murray. Lamar Jackson against Cleveland. Lamar Jackson
I'll go Lamar still.
He hasn't had a great game since.
I mean, Kyler's coming off of a pretty serious injury.
He's been healthy for weeks. They just didn't sacrifice him to 2 terrible defenses in a row is what they did.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to Jared Goff against the Chargers and Herbert, I'd start both of them. Not even a question, especially because Goff's indoors on that one. Dak Prescott against the Giants, I'd probably go Dak. My boy Howell against Seattle. I could go toss up Howell versus Murray.
Those are close.
I'm not playing Geno. No way on earth. Geno's, 20 at this point? You're not doing the Jets and the Raiders, and then Russ Wilson off the bye against Buffalo. Their defense has been trash, but I'd still go Kyler Murray. So,
me too.
I don't even think we got 10.
Yeah, I think we got to somewhere between eight and 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Yeah, okay, so yeah, I guess he is a top 10. It'll be very interesting moving forward after this, but this game will tell us a lot if he's sitting out there.
Can I say one thing, though?
Pick him up.
Sam Howell finally graduated from the streaming quarterbacks because he finally surpassed 60%. It only took 9 weeks to get here, and we finally got Sam Howell over the 60% threshold.
Yeah, he's not on the list. You're right. Mm-hmm. Baker's still there. Baker's been there pretty much all year, but, you know, what can you do? He's going to stay there. He's not going anywhere. On the tight end streamers, Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, Luke Musgrave all made that list. It's so weird seeing Musgrave, but Jordan Love just kind of stinks.
The only one.
God, man. With the tight end stuff, I want to not be into a tight end by committee situation, but Jonnu just keeps getting the ball. I mean, it doesn't matter who is that quarterback. They just don't throw it to Kyle Pitts, and they love to get it to Jonnu.
And that's the weirdest thing. Even Heineke, too, which is like the switch didn't happen. I was like, I'll put Kyle Pitts inside the top eight because Heineke knows how to throw to a tight end. Actually knows how to. Nope.
He does.
He's just Jonnu Smith. Actually, interesting enough, which you can check in the ranks column, Desmond Ridder led the league in throwing to tight ends the highest percentage of the time, and it was an enormous gap. Tyler Heineke's mid-pack because he, like you said, he threw mainly only to Jonnu Smith, not both of them.
Jonnu's a guy that you can take a look at. There you go, and you guys can be on the lookout tomorrow for the ranks article. It's going to be over on The Athletic, so make sure you are locked into that. Subscribe. You can get notified. If not, you can just go follow Jake on Twitter, All In Kid. He's got his article there. You can sign up from the article. You can follow me at Is It The Welsh if you would like to do so. And that is it for waivers. Coming up here, Funston, myself, on Thursday, we're going to be doing ranks. We're going to look at Jake's ranks. We're going to pick them apart. We're going to judge and point at them.
And laugh.
Probably end up still not getting to where we need to. It's usually like we are higher on a guy than Jake. And that's about it. But we'll be talking about where Jake's ranks are at and more. So make sure you're subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Or, of course, if you're with The Athletic, you can get it on The Athletic app. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. As always, we'll talk to you next time right here on The Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast.